Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Total Wine & More announces points with a purpose. Now through September 13th, collect 5x points on wines and spirits. Points earned equals a matching donation to local charities. Up to $2 million in total. Shop with us today or visit TotalWine.com. Terms and conditions apply.
With Bruce Buffer. And now, it's time for the voice of mixed martial arts.
We are live!
It's Bruce Buffer.
Bruce Buffer.
Hey everybody, it's time! Again, I'm not Bruce Buffer. TJ DeSantis. Bruce gearing up for a jam-packed upcoming schedule, which of course features the UFC showdown between reigning and defending undisputed UFC lightweight king Khabib Nurmagomedov. He takes on the two-divisional champion and former UFC lightweight king Conor McGregor, the notorious one. Things are heating up. It is going down UFC 229. It is.
The world has changed, and Microsoft Teams is there to help us stay connected. Teams is the safe and secure way to chat, meet, call, and collaborate. To learn more, visit Microsoft.com/Teams.
1 week from this Saturday night in Las Vegas, Nevada. Cannot wait for that one. And can't wait for Buffer to come back. Should be back next week. And we'll get you hyped up for all the action that is going down in Sin City. Today on the program, another archive show, but a fun one, a good one. With the recent retirement of Jake Ellenberger, we go back to our last interview with the Juggernaut, talk about his early days in mixed martial arts and where he was at during the time of this interview, which was in May of 2017, so about a year and a half ago. And interesting stuff. We talked to Jake about the potential retirement that was in his future, and as I mentioned, he did just finally hang up the gloves for the final time. So interesting to chat with Jake. Also on the show, Sammy Phillips. She is our relationships expert, and she talks about a relationship she was in at the time. And it's interesting. Sammy always has some good stories. So hopefully you sit back, relax, and enjoy this broadcast. In the meantime, you can get at us on Twitter, at Bruce Buffer, at TJ DeSantis. We're on Instagram as well, at Bruce Buffer UFC, and again, at TJ DeSantis. Also, if you are a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu fan, hopefully you will check out the Eddie Bravo Invitational. It is this Saturday night, live on UFC Fight Pass, a 16-man, one-night combat Jiu-Jitsu tournament. It's going to be awesome. Feature some UFC stars like Tamden McCrory and Josh the Dentist Neer. So check that out. EBI 17, the combat Jiu-Jitsu middleweights, this Saturday night, live on UFC Fight Pass. All right, without further ado, Bruce Buffer with Sam Phillips and Jake Ellenberger. This is It's Time Radio. We'll see you next week. I think it's probably another good time to remind people that if they're going to go out and, you know, have a few cocktails, beverages, have some good times with friends, that if they do choose to drink this weekend, they need to do so responsibly and make sure they get home in a safe manner.
Lots of barbecues, lots of parties to go to, and everybody knows the risks of driving drunk. I mean, think about it. You can get in a crash, people get hurt or killed.
Right.
But let's take a moment to look at some really surprising statistics. One thing I want to point out, well, almost 29 people in the United States die every day in alcohol-impaired vehicle crashes. TJ, that's wild. That's one person every 50 minutes.
Bruce, it's completely avoidable. I mean, think about all the consequences that come with drinking and driving. You know, you could hurt yourself, you could hurt someone else, you could lose your job. I mean, financially, you want to talk about this not being a good decision. I mean, this can really hurt you and your family.
A lot of things are going to happen.
Right.
A lot of legal expenses, and you probably will get arrested. You just don't want to think about those things. So plan a safe ride home before you start drinking. Designate a sober driver. We talk about it all the time. If you feel that you can't drive, it's very simple. Call a taxi. If someone you know has been drinking, take their keys, arrange for them to get a sober ride home. That's called doing a good deed for a day, folks, because we all know the consequences right. of driving drunk.
And, you know, if you're a little bit buzzed, you think it's no big deal. No, you're drunk, and it is a big deal. So simply put, drive sober or get pulled over. Hey, Bruce, ever since we've podcasted together and talk about mixed martial arts, I've had listeners hit me up, friends, family, say, you know, hey, who's going to win this fight? Who should I put my money on? And I know for a fact you get the same questions, and you answer the same way every time. You don't exactly say who people should put their money on, but you do have a place where all of our listeners can go and lay down some cash and do it in the best way possible.
You got to check out a place called mybookie.com. See, here's a key thing, TJ. Whenever you're betting, it's just as important as to know who you're betting with.
Right.
That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. And trust me, guys, they are your best bet this season. Here's the key reasons, TJ. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online when I check them out. And their mobile site is easy to use. You lay down some cash, and hopefully you win big today.
I was talking about fights, but MyBookie is not just a fight bookie. It's, you know, there for the NFL, baseball, everything from top to bottom. This is a full service online bookie.
That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, believe me, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you guys that like fantasy out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player is going to score each game.
That's huge. And I think we got a little bit of a deal going on with MyBookie that if our listeners go over there and use the promo code BUFFER upon their first deposit, we will match their initial deposit dollar for dollar.
Exactly. So when you go to MyBookie.com, use promo code BUFFER, all in capitals, B-U-F-F-E-R, to activate that offer. So visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, M-Y-B-O-O-K-I-E. And don't forget to use the promo code BUFFER when creating your account to claim the bonus. It's real simple. Here it is. You play, you win, you get paid. And next up is our guest on the show today, none other than the juggernaut himself, Jake Ellenberger. Fresh off a UFC performance, we're going to go into it and talk about it today. And Jake, how are you? How's everything going?
I'm good. Bruce, how about you?
I'm doing fantastic. You know, it's been not too active UFCs over the last 4 weeks. Actually, yeah, a little bit, but a couple weeks off kind of throws me into a loop sometimes when I'm not getting on the road and getting on a plane. Jake, it's always great.
It's going to be a nice change, it's you know, a little.
It is. You know, you catch up with family, you catch up with loved ones, and then you realize that you have more time on your hands than you're used to when you're only home for 3 or 4 days at a time. It's an adjustment, let me tell you.
I'm sure.
So, Jake, you know, recently at the UFC in Nashville, you went up against Mike Perry. Again, I always, you know, respect and love watching you fight. I've been a fan of yours for so many years. I hate to see you lose. I hate to see any of my friends and great warriors lose. It was a brutal knockout, an elbow, which is one of the greatest fighting techniques, one of the greatest street fighting techniques, in my opinion, known to man.
Right.
I don't know very few people that would not have gotten knocked out by that shot that was received. So with all this, you've had time to reflect, time with your family, time with everything else. When I talk to people about being on the show, obviously, Jake, and I apologize for asking this question, but it's a question you've been asked already, I'm sure. People want to know what is in store for the future. They're wondering, after this long, glorious career you have, is it time to put up the gloves? That's something I would never answer for you. I would just like to ask you and hear your answer, where you're at today and what the future holds.
Sure. You know, it's reflecting back to the fight, too, it's unfortunate. It's one of those things, too. It's you never plan for something like that to happen. And it's really part of this, you know, part of what makes this sport great. I mean, the unpredictability, you know what I mean? The million ways I envisioned this fight going, that was never even a thought. So, but yeah, unfortunately it happens. You know, one mistake, one error can cost you the fight. And I've had some time to reflect and reevaluate my career, my situation. But I'm definitely not done yet. You know, I'm 32 years old. I just turned 32. You know, and then I know that door is coming to a close. But we're not quite there yet. But I've had some time to reflect and kind of get back to reality. But But yeah, I would say we're getting closer to you know, I'm not, I definitely know what time it is, but I'm not quite done yet.
Gotcha. And actually, I'm very excited to hear that. I'm happy to hear your answer, because even though, you know, the reality is you've lost 7 of your last 9 fights. You've gone up against some very strong warriors, Stephen Thompson, Jorge Masvidal, Robbie Lawler. I mean, come on. It's like, you know, these are people that nobody gets to face 3 fights in a row, much less, you know, every other fight. So you're taking on a very, very tough division. You are 32. I agree with you. There is more fight in you. Your contract with the UFC, without getting too personal, do you have more fights on your contract, or how does it work? Do you consider that you'll end your career, continue your career, and eventually end your career inside the UFC octagon? Is that your plan?
Yeah, that is the plan. I mean, you know, for me, I've been fortunate enough to have a great relationship with the UFC, with Dana. You know, and really being a company guy. You know what I mean? I've always been very, very respectful and very grateful for all the opportunities they've given me. But yeah, I would say ideally, you know, I would like to end my career, you know, in the UFC, nowhere else. And I did sign 4 fights before this last one, so we would have 3 left. But I don't know. I don't know. I couldn't give you a number. I don't know how many fights left I have. But I do know that fire is still burning.
Exactly, JP. You know what? I don't think. It's like anything else in life. The only thing you can go for me, example for me, is my next UFC, which is in Dallas, 211, coming up. I don't think beyond that. Just like you thinking beyond your guns, whoever the next gunfight is for you, that's really all it is. It's fight by fight by fight. You know, surviving the fight, moving on to take the next one. I wouldn't dwell on when I was personally. If there's advice here, I'm not trying to give you advice by any standards, just my opinion. But it's like you got to go out there, knowing the warrior you are. Knowing that you're going to go in and do your best, forgetting about the last fight and just thinking about the next fight. You got 3 fights on your contract. That's the way it is. That's life. I mean, you know, who's going to be undefeated in the UFC octagon? Can you tell me that will ever be an undefeated fighter in UFC octagon? No, there won't be.
Exactly. And I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, it proved this is definitely the toughest sport. I mean, hands down, in all combat sports. I mean, you see some of the best guys, and even me being a fan, from watching the sport grow from where it's been, you know, and seeing, you know, having seen you been there since the beginning and to what it's become is quite incredible. So yeah, even from the fan inside me, it's you know, I feel sometimes the fighters forget that, you know, this is a privilege and an honor to be a part of.
Hey, Jake, that circuit outside the UFC is pretty gnarly. It's changed quite a bit since 2005 when you came up. I don't know if you know this, Bruce. I actually got to see Jake's 6th professional bout in a place called Medina, Minnesota, in the Medina Ballroom, part of an extreme challenge card.
It's not Medina, it's Medina?
It's Medina.
Ooh,
there.
I said that wrong before.
That's all right. That's all right. But, Jake, I mean, I say that there are multiple generations of fighters, and I think you're the 3rd generation of fighter, which started right around the time you turned pro. What was it like coming up at that time? Because the guys that you were replacing, in my opinion, you know, the Jens Pulvers of the world, the Pat Miletichs, the 2nd generations from the pioneers, how much has this sport changed from when you started fighting in 2005 to, you know, 12 years later now in 2017?
Yeah, no, it's changed. It's changed so much. I mean, you know, having my first fight in 2005 and just kind of watching it evolve too. You know, I'm from Omaha, and I trained quite a bit at Pat Miletich's gym. And at the time, you know, I had seen guys like Matt Hughes and the Jens Pulver and the Spencer Fisher, the guys that were incredible fighters. And to see where it's gone and where it's still going is incredible. I mean, obviously, we're in the entertainment business, and it's a pay-per-view drawn sport. And you know, I think Daniel Lorenzo and everybody who, you know, was the original people that kind of started in this organization, they knew where it was going. And, you know, and just to be a part of that has been quite an incredible experience. But, yeah, I mean, as far as to see, like, where to what I've gotten to be a part of, I would say it's really cool to see, and even see where it's still going. You see this, you know, I see kids in the gym and in wrestling too that are like have started so much younger than I did, and are just extremely resilient. And seeing how much more competitive it's gotten, it's insane.
Jake, you know, I talked about that evolutionary process of mixed martial arts and where you were at in it. You know, for me, you were the first person to really sort of exemplify what it meant to cut weight. Because I remember the guy that you fought, Evan Boehmer, he was significantly smaller than you. Obviously, you both, you know, weighed in on point around 170 pounds, but Evan was a guy that should have been fighting at 145. And I remember when Jake walked to the cage, Bruce, I was like, oh my God, that is what a welterweight looks like. I had never seen a man fight that was as wide as he was tall. And Jake Ellenberger was that first man for me in person in a mixed martial arts base.
Hey, wrestlers can be very, very scary.
Yeah.
There's no question. And one thing about Jake, he's always stayed in shape.
Yeah.
Jake's one of those fighters, which I really appreciate and respect. 365 days a year, 24/7, I'm in shape. I'm ready to go. You know, you talk about...
I appreciate that.
Oh, my pleasure, Jake. You talk about the spectacle to sport, you know, which is really what we've all seen over the time. There's a story that just came out recently. Before I let you go, Jake, I want to get your opinion on. In my opinion, it's really disgusting that this is taking place. But in Japan, there's a 12-year-old girl that's set for her amateur MMA debut on May 20th, and she's going to be fighting a 24-year-old.
What?
24-year-old woman.
This isn't a sport.
That is ridiculous. No. Okay, now, the fight will be contested at a minimum weight, which is 95 pounds, right? The girl that's going to be fighting...
She's a big 12-year-old.
Yeah, she's taking her debut against a girl that's had a 2-3 amateur record. Okay, not the greatest record as an amateur, but this is just wrong. It's wrong.
Yeah. Jake, do you have any kids?
I do. I have a son right now. He'll be 2 in July.
And what are your thoughts on his martial arts journey? Have you thought about whether or not you're going to, you know, introduce wrestling and jiu-jitsu and the onslaught of everything that you've studied over the years to your son?
Yeah, you know, definitely. It's something I think about a lot, too. You know, and I'll show him a lot of things. I'm not going to be one of those crazy dads. Like I used to ref and ref like wrestling matches, and you see these crazy dads, like, and I'm talking like 4 and 5 year old, like,
right.
That I'm reffing, and you see these dads that are like slapping them, and like if one of them started crying, he'd be yelling at him like, don't even come in. But it's crazy to see some of the antics of the parents. But yeah, for me, you know, I'll introduce him to everything, like all kind of, you know, anything he wants to play, I'll let him, as far as sport wise. But yeah, he'll definitely be a martial artist, but I think as far as what he pursues is up to him, you know.
I think one of the first things to teach him is, like, this just, again, my opinion is what isn't in my life. When I growing up with my dad, the first thing he taught me in fighting, he taught me boxing and stuff when I was literally teaching me that around 5 and 6 and how to move and stuff. But his main thing for me was teaching me how to handle the bully that I was going to confront, which was bound to happen going to school. And just the important thing was to punch him right between the eyes and keep punching until it stops, whether
right.
You win or lose. So maybe that might be the first thing to teach your son. I don't know.
That's it. It's funny because my dad actually told me the same thing. It was you hit him right in the nose or in between the eyes.
Yep.
And you hit him as hard as you can, and that's it. And I promise that he won't bully you again. And all right, so that's good advice.
It worked for me, actually. I after my first encounter, he taught me a foot stomp, and I was grabbed from behind. I foot stomped the kid, and he started crying. And I thought to myself, I'm going to listen to everything my dad tells me.
Wow.
From now on.
Was your dad Marco Huas?
My dad used to teach hand. My dad was the hand-to-hand combat instructor at Camp Pendleton for the Marine Corps. So it's like, you know, I was learning all these things. It's like, Dad, I don't want to kill my, you know,
right,
7-year-old.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll punch him, but I don't want to kill him.
He's teaching you Mi'kmaq.
Right.
Exactly.
My goodness.
Jake, you are thinking beyond your guns. You've got your podcast with John Orlando, who's also a friend of mine. And I know that's going really well. I was on your show with Boss Rutan recently, and I congratulate you on all that. You know, you got the fight. You think it'd be on your guns, and it's time to prepare for the future, my man. And you want to still, and I'm proud to hear that you're still going to be the Octagon Warrior that we all, you know, love to watch fight.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, thanks so much. And yeah, you know, things are going well. We got a lot of things in the works for the future, and you know, it'll live to fight another day.
Exactly. A little side note, TJ, do you know who John Orlando's dad is?
No.
Tony Orlando. Tony Orlando and Blonde.
Wow.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah. Of course.
And
sure.
Tony, and I know you know Sammy. Yeah.
Her mic's not on yet.
That's okay. That's good. But Tony's a huge fan of the UFC. Huge fan of the UFC. He was even in Nashville to watch Jake fight. Yeah, that's how big a fan he is. And in Vegas, he goes to all the shows he can.
Yeah.
Still looks great. What is he, 72?
Yeah, great guy. I know, I think he's, early 70s. Looks great. He
looks fantastic. Yeah.
Looks incredible.
People don't realize that's one of the biggest TV stars around back.
For sure.
Back. Yeah.
No doubt about it. So hey, just real quick, last thing for me. Jake, I mentioned being inside the Medina Entertainment Center when you fought Evan Boehmer so many years ago. obviously, I think I'll probably still have a couple interviews with you going forward, you know, as my responsibilities with SureDog. But thank you for everything you've given mixed martial arts. You know, I'm a Midwestern kid from Minneapolis, and you know, you being from Omaha, getting to the UFC, that meant a lot for me and my part of the country. And, you know, I can't wait to, you know, see what's next for you in the UFC. But honestly, I appreciate everything you've done for the sport, and it's been a pleasure watching you.
Oh, yeah, thank you, TJ. I appreciate that. It's funny you mention that, because even, like, people always ask me, like, did you anticipate doing what you're doing or, becoming a fighter? And even when I was just, like, when I was a fan, and I looked up to these guys, you know, Chuck Liddell, George St. Pierre, these guys that I'm like, you know, one day, my original goal was one day I'll get to fight in the UFC. Like, that, how insane, you know, how cool would that be to fight once in the UFC?
Right.
Which was really my original goal when I was competing and really fell in love with mixed martial arts. And so, you know, going from there to, exactly, you know, it's like I 18 fights now. I've had 18 in the UFC, which is wow. It's crazy to even say. It's insane, but.
To put that into perspective, I think when Jake first started fighting in mixed martial arts, the record for most appearances in the UFC was 15, mm-hmm. and that was owned by Tank Abbott. So many things have changed, because Tank he's a footnote and a pioneer and whatnot. But I like mm-hmm. these modern day records, and the fact that you've made 18 walks to the octagon is a testament to your durability and to sustain in your division too, the welterweight division. It's like the best of both worlds. You have guys that are very quick but still very powerful. It's like lightweight. It's crazy stuff.
There's a thing in boxing, we used to say that the middleweights, which are around 170, that a man weighing 170 pounds is capable of knocking out everybody from lightweight to heavyweight. Fast, speedy, extremely strong, especially with a wrestling base. You know, just tremendous respect. And we talk about your record and future records. I'm going to let you go here, Jake, in 30 seconds. But I'm going to make a little prediction with you on the line right now. That I've been reading, and I said this before,
mm-hmm.
Chuck Liddell is a warrior.
Right.
He will fight anybody, anywhere, anytime. He is mm-hmm. in a free moment right now. He's retired. But I said about 6 months ago, I have this funny feeling that we're going to see Chuck Liddell fight again. I'm not saying where.
Right.
I just have this funny feeling that I know, but I know it's not that I want him to as much as I would love to see him to.
Sure.
And I've talked to John Hackelman, you know, about this. And then I read yesterday John Hackelman commentating about potentially a $3 million fight for Chuck.
He was on Anakin Florian's podcast.
Oh, was that? Okay, so that was it. So this kind of backs up this gut feeling I have that we're going to see Chuck Liddell throw down again.
There's always a demand for pioneers. And
who wouldn't want to watch Chuck Liddell?
Right, of course. It's just whether or not someone actually has $3 million to throw out there. And I hope Chuck doesn't. I mean, Chuck has nothing left to prove. I don't want
nothing at all.
I mean, I would hate to say don't make $3 million, but
you can't say that to me.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, Jake, don't make $3 million, okay? Yeah. No.
But yeah, right. And that'd be a hard one to turn down, to be honest.
Well, all I'm simply saying by this, Jake, is that when it is time to have that wonderful walk in the sun and go on to what your future holds, once you make that move, stay with that move, you know?
I agree. I do. I agree completely. But, yeah, I was a massive fan. We're just still in love Chuck, and you know, he's always been a guy that I've looked up to and always enjoyed watching. So
I love Chuck. My favorites of all time. Incredible.
Great guy. Great.
Great. On a personal level, he's a great guy. A lot of fun hanging out with Chuck Liddell. But right now we're hanging out with Jake Ellenberger. Jake, we're going to let you go. Thanks so much for coming on the show. Can't wait to be there roaring your name.
He's a Midwesterner like me that has escaped the cold and has come out west. So if you ever find yourself in L.A., Jake, let us know. We'll have you in studio. We'll hang out a little bit and you know, talk more fringe stuff.
Guaranteed.
About
the sport. No, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks, Jake. Take care, buddy.
I like Jake Ellenberger, man.
What's not to like?
One of the true pioneers when it comes to mixed martial arts and you know, the second generation of pioneers. A lot of people hear the word pioneer and they think Hoist Gracie and Ken Shamrock. Jake Ellenberger is a pioneer in a completely different
evolutionary
type of way.
Periods.
Right.
There was this, then there was Jake's period, and now he's in the current period.
Right. You know? No doubt about it.
I would have loved to have said hello to him had my microphone been on.
Well, I mean,
I'm just saying.
To be honest, Sammy, if
there
someone,
was no Sam time.
If someone would have showed up on time, someone would have showed up on time.
I was
right.
on time. No.
Right now, we've got 25 minutes.
I was on time.
12:30 is on
12:30
time.
Is on time.
You start at 1?
No. Nope. We start at 12:30.
Yeah, since when?
Well, we set up for 10 minutes.
Okay, we start at 12.
Whatever.
We start at 12:40. You still
okay,
make that time.
Whatever.
We got a lot of good stuff here.
Okay,
I want to go
good, good, good. Let's get to it.
Okay.
I miss you guys. First and foremost. Jesus Christ, is it recording me? Do you know Siri follows me everywhere?
Well.
And my phone just miraculously records crap.
Really?
And sends it to people. Yes.
Can you turn
it
that phone
it
off for
people?
Now?
No, it's off. It's oh to the F to the F.
If my phone randomly sent messages to people,
oh, it's scary.
I would delete all of my contacts.
Whoa, that's extreme.
Well, I mean,
just be careful not to voice memo dial.
Right.
Hey, listen, I have had, we're on air, right?
Of course we are.
Okay, so I went through one of those situations with a girl that I was dating, and something happened that I had to tell my friend because I was a little upset about the way the girl handled herself in a social situation. I text this detailed text to her instead of him.
Yes.
Did we go out with each other after that? No, the relationship kind of came to an end after that. But
screeching,
you
know,
halt. Oh God. And at this after, I'm hearing her telling me how much she loves me, but that the love obviously disappeared really quick, you know? Be careful when you text. I found myself yesterday doing that. I almost hit the button. I'm like, no.
You guys have to be careful. Everyone has been a victim to it. I'm just saying.
Well, it's very easy, especially if you have the iPhone, which I think all three of us
do.
Yeah,
we're iPhoners.
The text feature, you just click on something.
But there's a voice thing where it literally will just record you and then send it.
That's terrifying.
No, I know. I always tell people if you get something that makes no sense for me, disregard.
Should we start off?
No, I mean, we'll circle back. Everyone listening and watching at home, the illusion's over. We haven't recorded the beginning of the show yet, but let's finish with this part, and we'll go through hard, and we'll set things up
and then
post.
Get soft. Okay.
So
go through hard, get soft. Isn't that the protocol?
I don't know.
Sammy Phillips is on the show, folks. Disclaimer: if you're under 18, ask mom and dad if it's okay to listen to It's Time Radio this week. You never know what you're going to hear. Mm-mm. When the beautiful, the sensual Sammy Phillips is guest hosting on It's Time Radio.
We're just here for the ride when Sam's here. Yeah.
That's not
the
true.
Double entendres that are being thrown out in the last 2 minutes.
Man,
are going to be going.
I can't say anything around here.
It's around Sammy, not around me.
It's not me. It's you guys. Lead a horse to water. That horse drinks, gulps. I'm just saying. Gulp, gulp, gulp.
By the way, you're looking very pretty today.
Oh, thank you. I put on makeup because we're now recording these things.
Can you turn off your cell phones?
That would be Bruce Buffer.
Buffer.
I'm sorry.
That is not me.
It's almost like we haven't done this podcast for almost a decade.
I thought I turned it off.
See, sorry. You wanted to blame me.
Well, I mean, you were the one that was super late.
I was not super late. I said I was going to be here by 1. I said it. It's not like I didn't say it.
All right, let's not spend 10 minutes on the 10 minutes you were late.
I love both of you.
Thank you. See, thank you.
Love
listen
is in the
Bruce.
Air.
I legitimately have love for both of you.
Oh, what? Whoa.
Yeah.
Hang on. Bullshit. Sorry, I had to say the word.
Wow.
What?
He has never said he loved me. Remember? He refuses to say that.
I just did. Are you ready? I mean, can you handle it?
People can grow. People can mature.
But it's like breaking news. Where is the CNN scroll? Yeah, thank you. Hello. Where is breaking news music? Come on. Come on, TJ DeSantis. Okay, so he has never, ever, he has absolutely refused saying that we don't have that kind of relationship. He only says that to his wife. Deedly-deedly-do.
No, that's not what I said.
Yeah, that's. I'm paraphrasing.
I've never said that I only say it to my wife, because I'll say it to a lot of people.
Just not me.
I don't throw it around.
No.
All right? I don't throw it around.
I know, but
all right,
no.
So maybe Sam.
I made an argument in the past, like we've known each other 7-8 years. We've worked together. We have a lot of love. I love you. You were like, I can't say I love you back.
But now he said
it's
it.
So see,
it's opened up a whole new door to your relationship.
Maybe it wasn't even so much that I didn't love you at the time. But
you
maybe
just
that
couldn't
just
admit
wasn't,
it.
Maybe that just wasn't the right moment to say it. It's like a good hug. I don't genuinely like hugging people.
I have a question.
What?
When you're dating and you're hanging.
It's for me, not for him.
Yeah,
he's married.
Clearly. But he had to have dated his wife before saying I love you, when do you go, I love you? Do you casually say I love you to friends, or is it reserved only for...
I think it ranges from this. I love what we did tonight.
Oh.
I would love to see you again.
Okay.
I love that movie.
Uh-huh.
I love this dinner.
I love my mom.
I'm starting to have feelings for you.
Okay.
I love you. It's like a graduation, okay? There's different levels of love. And what some about, people throw out the word love much too cheaply.
What about after an orgasm?
I've said it to maybe three or four women I've seriously been in love with in my life.
In bed, during sex. I love you.
No, no, no. If I said it meaning that, it's not in that situation. I mean, that can come out afterwards in different ways, but I'm talking about in a conversation, you know, looking at them and say, hey, you know, I love you.
Okay, so what happens if a girl is in your bed and after the throes of passionate sex, as you can bring any woman to... climaxes beyond, and she maybe and maybe she like has a little tear in her eye and it leaps, like before she could even stop it, paragliding off her tongue goes, I love you. What do you do?
Glad you're having fun.
Oh, good.
Glad we're having a great time right
That's
now.
Good to
Unless
know.
I happen to love her. If I'm in love with her, then I'll say it back. I do not lie to women.
But does it push you away if you think that she's got more deeper feelings for you than you maybe might have for her,
you know,
at the time?
In the situation you're describing, in the throes of passion, that's like a very emotional moment, you know, even entertaining what she's saying to me. So I'd be sensitive to that to still make it a beautiful moment. If I thought I went a little too far, then when everything's settled down and we're having a little
tete-a-tete.
Dinner or a little tete-a-tete afterwards, I would go back because I believe in communication, and I would clarify the level of love that was being expressed.
Right, right, right.
There's one thing to say, I love you.
Right.
There's another thing to say, I have love for you. And there's the one thing to say, I'm in love with
okay,
you.
Okay, so which did you use for me? Did you say, I have love for you, or I love you?
Has love for you.
I said, I have legitimate love for both of you.
Okay.
Now, yeah. my wife said, I love you to me on our third date.
What?
Complete accident.
See,
so
this is what I'm talking about.
It came out. She was feeling it. It's beautiful.
No. It was not that at all. I wish it was beautiful. Her family says, I love you to end every conversation. Mm. So as she was getting out of the car, just
See,
by
I
habit,
do that too. I do that
she
too.
Said to me, all right, I'll talk to you later. I love you. And I was like, whoa. And
is that when you went and bought a ring?
Yeah, personal question. No. Personal question, if I may.
Sure. Yeah, we've been.
Were you intimate with your wife by the third date?
No, God, no.
Well,
my wife.
Pretty big statement to say that.
My wife's a lady, and we
ladies can still, you know.
We've been together 12 years ago. We've been together 12 years now. So I mean, granted, I think there was still that third date sort of not myth, but like rule or whatever back in 2005, but.
Oh, that third date rule's been
around
forever.
Wait, we've been together for 15 years. Son of a gun.
You just missed 3 years and just remember 3 years?
Uh-huh.
No, I mean, I just did the math. 2005 to 2017. Oh, wait, no, that's 12 years.
Hey, listen.
I don't know.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
thank
no,
you.
That's clocking some time.
As long as it's not minutes, or as long as it's minutes, I'm good with math. But.
I have a question.
Uh-oh.
No, for real. I want a guy's take on this. For real. For real and seriousness.
All right, everybody listening and watching.
I want to close one thing just real quick with my wife. Saying I love you on the third date, we made a bit out of it. So every time we say goodbye to each other, instead of saying I love you, we would say I love and then anything that rhymed with you.
Very
so,
cool.
I love
nice.
Shoes. I love
use
blues. Huh. So now, 12 years later, sometimes when I want to text my wife I love you, I'll just text her a shoe. Emoji, because I love shoes.
That's so cute.
It's cute.
Isn't it?
That's adorable. It makes me want to be in a relationship.
All right. How about we go on to some
Wait,
news?
Wait, can I?
No.
I have a quick question. Yes. A guy question. I need your opinion. Okay. So I have gone out with a specific person.
The elderly man, right?
No. Not the 70-year-old. No. These old news.
Yeah, you literally.
Is he still around?
Right.
Go ahead.
He's in the obituary. No,
he's still above ground, guys. Come on.
Sorry.
Okay, so I've gone out.
Cremated, huh? Just kidding. Go ahead.
Oh, my God.
What do they call those mausoleums?
Yeah. Go ahead.
You guys are fucked up. Okay, sorry for the curse. Okay, not really. But, so I've gone out with a particular person twice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. First time, hung out. Don't really know each other. Knew each other over social media.
How'd you meet? Tinder?
No.
Oh, okay.
Via an email.
Just go ahead. Just talk.
Okay, so I'm trying.
I'm just getting backstory here.
Yeah,
Bob.
Yeah. No, backstory is important. So the first time we actually meet, we hang out. We hang out to 2:30 in the morning.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, yeah. Talking. Very interesting guy. Funny. I like him. Don't know a lot about him. Getting to know him. Normally, guys always want to ask you about you. I asked all about this guy. 2:30 in the morning, we leave. He leaves. And we say goodbye. Hug. Big, hearty hug. Like, a hug. Like, an appreciative, like, you're a great human being hug.
Did pelvises touch during the hug? Or was it a hug?
It was like a hearty hug. It wasn't just like a flimsy hug.
Not
it
was a sensual
like
hug. It was a good hug.
It was like a like a good hug.
Good.
Okay. Second time, we hang out.
Mm-hmm.
I go to his place.
Mm.
He takes me to dinner.
Mm.
We end up back at his place
mm-hmm.
to 2:30 in the morning talking again.
Mm.
On the same couch. Close. So I'm doing things like, you know, touching his leg when I'm making
you're trying
a point.
To give him a sign. Yeah.
I'm giving him like physical cues.
When women touch you, they're interested.
Hello. So, I mean, and check it out. This guy knows my whole radio shtick. He knows me from the radio from years ago. So he knows, one would suspect and hope, that I put out on the first date. What the hell is this guy's problem? He could have gotten ahead the first freaking date. So here we are, date number fucking two. Okay, I'm saying it's a date. We're hanging out, because I don't even know if it was a date.
It's still a date. You're together.
I don't even know what the fuck it was.
You're together. It's
okay,
a date.
Okay, whatever. Oh, we're hanging out.
What is a date these days
okay,
anymore?
This is what I don't even I don't even know.
All right, go on.
Okay, so 2:30 in the morning, I call the Uber because it is getting late. I had to work the next day. He had to work the next day, blah, blah. At the front door, hearty hug one more time, and then a hearty peck.
I mean,
like more than a, it was more like no.
But no open mouth. No,
so, no
so
almost like an O kiss.
Quick O kiss.
Yeah, it was a quick O kiss. No tongue. No time for tongue. It would be awkward anyway. Okay. There's an Uber outside.
And this is the first kiss?
Second. Well, okay.
Second date, first kiss.
Yes, but I wouldn't even quantify it as an actual kiss. No. It was just a hearty peck goodbye. So
he kissed you like a passionate eighth grader.
I don't even know if it was that. Again, I feel it was like a lot of appreciation. Like,
you kiss your
like you're a great human.
Like your mom. He was just home for dinner and he's saying goodbye. Go ahead.
No, I think it was not like a mom. One hopes that one doesn't kiss like that because it's sort of open-ish. So that would be,
how old is he?
Not quite 50.
Could you have taken the kiss farther, or are you just reacting to his intentions?
Taking his cues because, like, you know, also I'm not used to this. Like, going out, not doing anything, being like a normal person. Okay, so here's getting
nothing wrong with that.
Okay, so you said something, TJ, about 3-date rule or something of this nature.
Well,
so
I mean,
now,
that's the general rule,
okay,
right?
Okay, so this is my question. The next time that we're going to see each other, where we're hanging out, we're supposed to see each other this week just in a casual scenario mm-hmm. with friends or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But like the next time we're going to hang out is next week. He's going to come over to my house, and then I'm going to make dinner. Now, do I wait for him to make a move on me? Do I be extremely inviting? Do I just go, hey, blank, blank?
Can I,
what is the deal?
I got it. Can I? I'm taking
ooh,
it from here.
All right.
I totally got the answer.
Buffer's going to wax.
First question to you. Are you attracted to this man?
Fuck yeah.
Okay. So then you're interested in being with him.
Yeah.
What's happened here?
I have to say one thing really quick. You guys know if I agree to go on a date with you, that means...
Right.
I'm
you've said it on the show a million times.
Yes.
Right. So what you're dealing with here is you're dealing with a situation.
Do you think he likes me?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, because what you're dealing with is you're dealing with a gentleman.
But maybe he doesn't know yet, so maybe that's why
well,
he doesn't want
to
get
let
involved.
Let me finish. I got it. You're so used to, and I've been through this in my own life where, you know, I told this story to you a long time ago that when I broke up out of a serious relationship where I was almost going to get married, I started dating again. And after a few months of dating, I looked at myself in the mirror and like, why does all these girls just want to sleep with me? Why does nobody want to get to know me? You know, it's like that kind of thing. Right. You're in reversal now.
Right.
You have a guy that wants to get to know you, which is a beautiful thing, whether it's a woman to me or a guy to you, or a woman to a man.
And I want to get to know him.
And you want to get to know. So that's what's happening.
Yeah.
So now. But wait.
But
as a man.
Is he attracted though?
Yes.
Oh,
as
God.
A man.
Okay, hang on. Go ahead.
I got it. As a man. For me in my lifetime, when that third or fourth date happened, it doesn't happen today so much because women, girls don't cook like they used to.
Oh, I cook.
Right. So now when I knew that I was going over to her house and she was making me dinner, that was like ultimately it was all going to flow. And in his head, he's probably going to be more comfortable. I would suggest that you dress
In a negligee?
No. Just sensual, as you're so good at doing.
Sweatpants and a t-shirt,
no,
like my norm.
No,
jeans
I would.
And a
no,
t-shirt?
I would no. change
a dress.
Little, you can put on a little maid's outfit, whatever.
What?
But I mean, no, I'm just saying dress.
That's
to impress in the relation Fine. To what you're. Do you think sweatpants and a sweatshirt is the way to greet a guy that you're interested in
yeah, I don't
taking
wear underwear.
Further?
Yeah.
I'm a weirdo. I think there's nothing hotter than a woman in her home wearing
See?
Sweatpants.
Thank you.
And a
this is
all right.
I'm
that's
saying.
Fine. Let's, okay. That's
I'm,
fine because
I'm
I am with you, TJ. I'm yeah. with you, and I absolutely agree. Easy done.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
so the
bottom.
yeah, that's not exactly what I was going for. But,
it's
know.
Either a summer dress or what has been termed a doomy dress because it's. In this oh. case, it's sweatpants and it's. So anyway, all the kidding aside,
yeah.
I think you're setting the perfect tone. To have this, where maybe this time, instead of reacting to how he reacts to you, press it a little bit when the time is right.
Should I kiss him?
Yeah, why not?
Really?
Why
do
not?
You, do
I know,
you...
but you know what? I'm such a man in so many things. I'm not a man. But I mean, I'm like very alpha.
Your personality is such
I'm
yeah.
alpha in business. I'm alpha in relationships, my friendships, all kinds of shit. I want to be the woman. I don't know.
You
want
to be pursued.
Or I just want to feel feminine.
Sure, I get that. You know,
without having to wear a freaking fracking dress.
Can I tell you, you were questioning if he's attracted to you?
Yes.
He's already proven that with one gigantic thing that you said. You said
the hearty peck?
No.
Oh.
No. You said that he wanted to hang out with you on a night where he had to work the next day.
Yes.
And you guys stayed up until 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, twice.
I'm not staying up until 2:30 in the morning for my wife that I've been with. For that long.
What have I said on the show a million times that is now going to hell in a handbasket in this country with the younger generation?
Yeah.
Communication, talking, phone calls, communication yep. is the greatest foreplay in the
and
world.
And he prefers calls as to opposed to text.
He's a man.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
a man over 35
okay.
that is
and
handling
check it
right.
Out. I left one thing out. He has two children that are...
Does it bother you?
No. When I was younger... Maybe, but also they're not like toddlers. They're
right.
teeners.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So they're olders.
Great. Right. They want to stay away from y'all.
No, I think he spends a lot of time with them, which I encourage.
Yeah, but they
want to
stay
great.
Away from both of you when you guys are together.
I don't know. I've never met them, but they seem
yeah,
very
well,
sweet.
Pointing.
Well, I mean, again, I've just kind of met this guy.
Right.
I'm
I know,
like,
I know a guy
a
that's got
for sure.
I know a guy that's got a worse problem than you. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
All right. Over the past 5 months, this guy, Matthew Herrick, he's living in this house. In the past 5 months, over 1,100 men have showed up to his door expecting to have sex with him.
With him?
Yeah,
personally?
he's actually suing Grindr.
Oh,
the,
no.
The thing. The popular dating app for gay and bisexual men.
Did somebody put his thing up on
According to a
ad?
Complaint, he's the victim of an elaborate revenge scheme
yep.
on Grindr's platform. An ex-boyfriend of Herrick's, I guess the gentleman's gay also, who says he met him on Grindr, has allegedly been creating fake accounts since 2016, October. The accounts have Herrick... I'm not laughing. I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh. The accounts have Herrick's photos, personal details, including some falsehoods like a claim that he's HIV positive.
Oh, no. That's terrible.
That's criminal.
That's slander.
That's criminal,
yeah.
right? Wow. That's slander. Yeah.
yeah.
So he's had 1,100 dudes have shown up at this guy's house in 5 months.
If you're giving someone's address out unbeknownst to them, that's criminal already.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, spreading out personal information like that, true or false, it's terrible.
Can I tell you, I've been a victim of the very same thing.
Seriously?
Yes. Okay. So I lived next door at a certain point to a gay friend who was extremely active on the Grindr. And what he would do is apparently... send them to my apartment to pre-screen them coming in the building, and he would be able to see them. And then I'd be like, I have no idea who you're like, blah, blah, blah. And if he liked them, he'd run out and grab them. So the first time it happened, I leave my front door open sometimes. Like everybody in my building, we have our front doors open. Cats go in and out. People go in and out. It's very fratty, right?
Right.
So I was literally in my bathroom trimming my vagina hair. So I had no clothes on.
I've never quite heard it referenced like that.
I don't know why that was...
Why was that so scientifically perfect?
I don't know why that was necessary details in this story.
Because I was standing naked in my bathroom trimming my pubic hair with a scissor and a comb, looking down, hunched like a turtle, and in walked a random Grindr gay man.
Oh, he walked in?
He walked into my fucking apartment.
Oh, my God.
And looked at me, and I looked at him, and I was like, who the fuck are you?
So he went straight at first sight, right? He went straight at first sight?
No, he went straight out my door and started running, and I'm like, who are you?
And that's how you found out?
Well, yeah, that was the first time. And then when it happened a second time, I asked buddy next door, I'm like, are you diverting them to my apartment by chance? Hmm. And he goes, oh, yeah, I do it all the time.
That's not okay.
You got, you got PO'd, right?
Yes, I got PO'd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pissed off.
Yeah, you can say it. It's okay.
I would. Yeah, of the things that you say.
Yeah. No, I chased that MRF-er out the building. I'm like, who are you? And I had like a towel wrapped around me.
Why
like,
was your door unlocked?
I just said we do that.
It's at they're a little open.
We're like in a little conclave.
There are certain times when you lock your door.
I just wasn't realizing. I just got the pension to cut the pubic hair, and
maintaining yourself is one of those times you lock the door.
Yeah, I would think when you're grooming.
I think
the problem next time I think it'd be like when you're grooming.
Yeah, so, no. Now when I groom, I make sure to keep it locked.
So. This is
well, obviously, with the new guy you're dating, it's not going to stay
I'm
long.
I'm not dating him. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just hanging out.
I think you should make him a nice dinner, put candle lights out, put some put some Sade or some of the good music up on the thing.
Jamiroquai.
Create the mood.
Yeah.
Put on your favorite sweatpants, and just go to town. Just have a good time.
You know, after dinner, sweatpants might not be a bad move if you're going to, watch a movie together.
Okay.
Guess
what? I've offered.
I want to slip into something more comfortable routine. And one quick thing, don't make a heavy dinner.
No.
Do not make a light dinner.
I don't want to take a poo. I don't want to have to fart.
I wasn't really thinking of that end of the equation.
You have to think about that.
I was thinking about the guy.
You don't want to have to go to the
bathroom.
I wasn't going there. I was thinking about the guy who's with you. You don't want him to go, I'm so full.
Oh, yeah. And also, you have to be careful, no asparagus. You know that, right?
Uric acid. Yeah, it makes the pee smell.
Oh, my God. And the cum and the whole inside.
Sammy Phillips show, folks.
The whole nine
on the
yards.
Show.
Has no problem dropping that word, but but P.O.
Yeah, P.O.
P.O.
MF-er. He said P.O. I said
I got something here for you.
Oh, good.
Kim Kardashian's tush. Right?
Have you seen the photos lately?
We're going to go there, too.
Literally her moneymaker.
Her moneymaker, but it's for sale now.
What?
You know how it's for sale? As a pool floaty.
Oh, yeah.
It's a pool floaty of the
Does
cheeks.
Does it come with lumps and bumps?
Right there.
Oh, you know what? That doesn't look like her ass.
No, isn't it? Okay. They're selling it for $98 on the internet. A pool floaty.
You know what? These little kids just popped our two pool floats the other day. I was really annoyed. Talks about being PO'd. I'm going to order the Kim Kardashian ass float for my building.
It's right there then. It's right. Look at it. I'll send you the link.
I went to a Kmart a couple weeks ago in Nashville because I was bored and
you saw the Kim Kardashian float?
No, I found a poo emoji floaty. Which,
those are cool.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah, poop.
You guys are sick.
Why?
Sick poopers.
I'm kidding.
Chocolate pudding. I'm like,
all right, let's talk about that TMZ picture that came out. Do you notice that when the one picture of her came out that was obviously
lumps and bumps?
You could, as a woman, I'll let you do the description.
Cottage cheese.
So then, or just, it just looks like it's not natural. Okay. It's far beyond unnatural, it seems. So then the next day, 2 days later, suddenly these incredible pictures that came out. Do you think those were photoshopped?
Yes. She's been known, allegedly, supposedly, to Photoshop everything. And then if it's anything that's in a form-fitting tight ensemble, there's Spanx, dude. It just have you seen the video online? It's on Facebook where this obese-ish woman with wiggles and jiggles and rolls and fat zips herself into this bodysuit and all of a sudden becomes this skinny person.
Oh, give me that.
Oh, here, I'll find it. Here.
Please, sign me up for that.
Yeah.
While you're looking for that.
That's false advertising, though, because when you take off that disgusting sweatsuit.
I'm married. My wife knows what she got.
Wait, women are entitled to do whatever they want to do. I mean, do you consider push-ups and cups and all that go there? Is that false advertising?
Yes. Well, no. If it's a push-up of your own natural God-given gifts, no. But if it's the cutlets where it's the fake water balloons, when you take off the bra and the girl has a size A and you think she has a D, but that's not real.
That's up to those individuals. If you can do something that makes you feel more confident and will give you an edge going out in public, go ahead and do that. Because again, if you, that might chase away a fling, all right? But it's not going to chase away the man of your dreams. It's not going to chase away true love.
Unless you're dealing with a shallow hell.
Right. You know, sure.
You're dealing with a shallow Hal personality, that could possibly happen. So speaking of tacky a little bit, as we talk about a few of these things, you know, Aaron Hernandez, of course, we all know that he committed suicide recently.
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
Right. The car that he allegedly was driving during that 2012 drive-by shooting was on eBay.
What?
It was on eBay, and after the bidding, get this. This is sick. I can't understand why.
People are disgusting.
It was already at $100,000 mark. It had broke the $100,000 mark, but eBay's pulling it off. Pulling it off the auction.
You and I, Bruce, have talked in the past about World War II memorabilia and guns, and you've talked about not feeling comfortable owning
anything having to do with the genocide.
Right.
Which was not all of the German military.
Right. But again, like that is, it's still historical. Do you know what I mean? There's still a lot of historical value to it. While it's grim, it should be preserved to tell stories. This is something that shouldn't be preserved.
It should be preserved. And you know, in Germany, I told this before, but in almost every major city, there'd be a bombed out building. Like in Berlin, there's a church. In Munich, there's something. And of course, they still have, I think it's Auschwitz or Dachau that you can actually go and tour.
Yeah. I don't know how you could feel comfortable doing that, honestly.
Mark Ratner took the tour one time, and he said it was very hard for him to take that tour, as it is for anybody that has feelings of what the horrific things that happened back then.
You can't plan anything after that.
But that's an example. You know what I mean? Yes.
Like, try to go get a cup of ice cream after that.
I'm not going
to
go see a comedy.
No.
So, like you're saying, preserved, and like the country of Germany is just like, this happened, and, this is the... Not saying we're remembering it.
Well,
but
you have to own it.
You have to own it. Yeah,
there are plenty of things about this country that are
and
not
I love.
Great
I love
things.
Germany. You know how much
sure,
I love
sure.
Germany.
I mean, I love the United States. Yeah. I don't like the way we treated Native Americans when the Europeans arrived here. You know what I mean?
Most people don't realize the numbers involved in that genocide. Yeah. If people knew the numbers that our great country of America was involved in past genocide, I don't think the average person has the real idea.
No. I mean, anybody that says, these Native Americans that are making money off the reservations casino is ridiculous. I wish I could have that. And it's like, granted, there are a few exceptions, but odds are, your entire family tree wasn't reduced over a short period of time. You know what I mean? Like the things that happened to those people that, again, were here long before Europeans came. It's very sad stuff.
Very sad stuff. Getting into some collectible action, Sammy, I know Steve McQueen. We talk about him all the time.
I know Chad, his son, too.
Yeah, that's right. He's one of my best friends. Yeah, so the McQueen motorcycle, and his stuff goes for hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's crazy. They're following his production company following his appearance in a Japanese commercial in 1973, or for the 1973 CR250, whatever. I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. They just uncrated an actual Steve McQueen motorcycle. It was in a crate.
Wow.
And the guy that uncrated it is from the dealership of the legendary stuntman, Bud Elkins, who is the man that drove the bike in The Great Escape, that jump.
Oh, yeah,
he's the
sure.
one. He was the stuntman that did that jump. So the odometer reads 19,400 miles. This bike's going to go for probably close to $1 million.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
And that should go. I mean, I don't know if it should go for that high, but like after we hear something about the Aaron Hernandez, like... evidence to a murder going for $100,000. Like, I feel better about this situation.
Steve McQueen's,
you know what I mean?
I agree. Steve McQueen's fire suit he wore in the movie Le Mans sold for $750,000. That was a fire suit. That wasn't even a motorcycle. The watch, the Tag Heuer watch he wore in the film also sold for $750,000. I can only imagine what this would go for. Another thing I told you about, and if you look on the thing I sent you, TJ, the 1954 Bowman Mickey Mantle card that I cherish, one of my prized possessions of my sports collectibles. It's a PSA 7. I talked about a month and a half ago on the show how it sold for $1,800.
Has it gone up?
It just sold again yesterday for $2,772.
Dang, that's a huge markup
already. Huge markup. That set the price.
Wow.
That's it. It's going to go.
It's not going to go down.
It's not going to go down.
Yeah.
I can't tell you people enough. I say it all the time. Write us about your collectibles on It's Time Radio. Joe DiMaggio, Marilyn Monroe. The iconic couple's marriage certificate is going on the auction block. The winning bid is estimated to reach $75,000 for that piece of paper.
Wow.
$75,000.
Wow.
Marilyn Monroe stuff, like Steve McQueen's items, it goes for big money. Those estates each make in the area of like $7 to $12 million or more a year still to this day.
That's crazy.
And Chad, of course, runs the whole thing for Steve.
Wow.
Sammy, what do you got to promote here? How's your comedy show going? How's Penthouse going? Everything going well?
Yeah, everything's going great. Just follow me, guys, on Twitter, The Single Life, Instagram, Sam's Pajama Party, Facebook, The Real Sam Phillips, or Sammy P, Sammy Phillips, S-A-M-M-Y.
And when you come back next, I want to hear about this third date and the Jamma Jamma Party you're planning.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's
We're going to keep up to date on that, Sam.
Yes, of course.
Okay, great.
Thank you. I love you guys.
Love you too. Thanks for coming in.
You guys are all right.
Oh, come on. Say it. Say it now. Say you love me. Do it.
Give it to her. Make her.
Come on.
Love you, Bruce.
What? Love you too, what about me?
Like a brother.
Yeah, you're great. We're tight.
No. Say the love. Say the love. You mean it. You know it. Come on.
You've got a woman begging for you to say something.
Come on.
Give her what she wants,
give
DJ.
Give it to me.
I have legitimate love for you, Sammy.
There you go. Okay.
Legitimate love.
That's even better than I love you.
That's probably even better than puppy love.
That's like for real, legitimate.
Yeah, legitimate.
Yeah.
That's it.
I legitimately love you too.
All right.
Quick shout out to the boxing world. Last Saturday,
I heard about it.
Was a throwback to the great fights we haven't seen in a long time in the heavyweight division. The great fighter, boxer Vladimir Klitschko, for 10 years has reigned, went up against the 19-0 undefeated Anthony Joshua. I think he's 19-0 now. It was a fantastic fight. Klitschko getting knocked down like three times to Joshua's one time.
Fantastic boxing match. Come on.
Fantastic boxing match. Still people are going to call it fight.
No, I'm kidding.
I know. Fantastic boxing match announced by none other than my legendary brother, Michael Buffer. Very happy. 90,000 people sold out. 90,000 people at Wembley Stadium.
Crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But the UK deal.
Are the great. They go down sometimes as the greatest fight fans in the world. Those guys love their pugilism, no matter how much comes through. So congratulations, Anthony Joshua. It's definitely worthy of a rematch. Had so much fun watching that this weekend. You've got the Canelo, Julio Cesar Chavez fight, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. fight coming up, another big fight, two big boxing matches in a row. And then next week after that, we go to Dallas for UFC 211.
Yep.
Can't wait. You're going to be there?
I'm not.
You're not
going
to be there?
No.
Can't wait to announce that card's sick.
No, it's sick. They say everything's big in Texas. And the UFC
is
really
proving it.
Put out a big card for 211 to bring it to Dallas.
Absolutely. Can't wait to see everybody in Dallas from the Octagon. Can't wait. I'm going to run up to Canada before that, do a little thing with Budweiser in Canada, go right down to Dallas and have a great show. Outside of that, folks, thank you for tuning in. Everybody, thank you for the recordings coming in, the weddings, the birthdays, everything else. We are Mamma Jamma at Buffer Enterprises, and we are loving doing these every week on video. I put a special on brucebuffer.com for those. And also, if you want more intricate, more detailed videos, we can do them on green screen and put anything in the background you want. Just check out brucebuffer.com for appearances, for fees, for all that, for anything you want. And, of course, for It's Time Radio and everything else going on in my life. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Everybody, treat everybody around you with respect. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Be a role model to your sphere of influence. Be honest. Be strong. Set your goals. Write them down. Pursue them. Life is about winning. Why? It's time to win. That's what we talk about in It's Time Radio. That's how I lead my life. And I hope that 3-foot theory of putting everything out to everybody listening, that you're happy and successful as can be, that will make me happy. That will help me be successful. Do the best you can be. See you next week. Buffer out.
It's Time with Bruce Buffer is a TJ DeSantis production and is property of Buffer Enterprises Incorporated. Its content is intended for private use only. Leading podcast was a TJ DeSantis production. Comments, questions, and inquiries can be directed to DeSantisProd@gmail.com.
Toyota's Labor Day sales event is ending soon. Save big with 0% APR on 13 of Toyota's top-selling models like RAV4, Camry, and Corolla. Don't wait. Toyota's Labor Day sales event ends Monday. Toyota, let's go places. Click the banner or visit buyatoyota.com.
The world has changed, and Microsoft Teams is there to help us stay connected. Teams is the safe and secure way to chat, meet, call, and collaborate. To learn more, visit microsoft.com/teams.